Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's in the gun. Wentz takes the snap. He is forcing his way forward, and he does not get it. Wentz, with Boston Scott to his left, pushed forward, and he did not get it.
They're trying to decide, Carson and Boston Scott, am I going to hand it off to him, or am I going to keep it? And the defenders, they're in the backfield so fast, they're able to tackle both of them at the same time.
They did.
Yeah, Mike and Merrill on the call. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome, Marks and Reese. And you can get in the backfield pretty fast when you don't have anybody blocking you, Ike Reese. I'm John, he's Ike.
What's up, Johnny Marks?
I'm pretty aggravated today with yesterday's loss, and, you know, we'll take everybody's reaction. People feel I know this, that people feel differently about yesterday. Some people are angry like me. Some people are saying, well, look at the injuries, and Carson Wentz played unbelievable in the fourth quarter, so you feel a little bit about it. I don't think it's a moral victory Monday, Ike, but they did lose the game. So what is your reaction to the 1-4-1 Eagles 30-28 loss to the Ravens yesterday?
Well, I mean, obviously a tale of two halves, really three quarters versus one. The Eagles had no business being in that game late in the game. Baltimore not being as aggressive with some of the play calling, maybe relaxing a little bit, thinking that the Eagles would just go away quietly with about 7 minutes left to go in that game. Yep. And the Eagles didn't, and it was mainly due to the quarterback not wanting to give up and continuing to fight out there. So those guys kept fighting with him. But I don't necessarily – that's not my takeaway from the game, right? My takeaway from the game is the missed opportunities early in this game. And when you're playing a team like Baltimore, you cannot miss out on opportunities to take advantage of them. And the third play of the game, when John Hightower has a ball laid in his hands perfectly from Carson Wentz, you got to catch that and go in the end zone, man. That puts you up 7-0. The game had already gotten started off on the wrong foot with two straight negative plays. I mean, my goodness. Can you start a game off any worse than what they did those first two plays of the game? But then, 3rd and 22, he drops back, and he lays it in there. You got to catch that.
Yeah.
You got to be ready for the moment. And they weren't ready for the moment, man. They weren't ready for the moment on 4th and 1. How do you not get 4th and 1? I mean, my goodness. Open your eyes and just push your way to the left. You know, just burying your head in the back of your offensive lineman and hoping that that works. Yeah, it works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you got to find the crease. That's another missed opportunity right there.
Yep.
Jake Elliott. My goodness, dude. Make a meaningful field goal at some point. At some point this year, I mean, you've been getting a pretty free pass this year on some of your misses. I don't care if they are from 55, 57, or whatever. Make the damn kicks.
It's not like the old days where a 50-some-yarder is unheard of.
No, make the damn kicks. Make the field goals. And then, Doug.
Ooh, boy.
I'm gonna need Doug to... You got to have a little bit more forward thinking here, man. Like, you can't win the game on one possession. You got to try to fight your way back into this thing. You got to try to extend the game, fight your way back into this thing. It can't be all or nothing when you get down there to the red zone. I know you want to score. I know you want the touchdown. But sometimes you got to kick the field goal. Sometimes you don't need to go for 2 points. Sometimes you got to just take the extra point, right? So that's what I think about that when I think about that game yesterday. It's frustrating, man, because it's missed opportunities. I knew Baltimore wasn't clicking on all cylinders. They almost slept through that game themselves, right? I didn't see Baltimore do anything yesterday that I was wowed with. Nothing. I mean, Lamar finally broke one.
Yeah, that was about it.
To go up 30 when they got their last touchdown of the game. He broke that run. But other than that, from an offensive standpoint, another thing. The Ravens' first touchdown drive. You give up 2 third-and-long conversions. Mm-hmm. 2 third-and-long conversions you give up. You want that team in 3rd-and-long. You want Lamar Jackson to have to throw the ball. And we don't get off the field. Man, balls bouncing around. Could have had interceptions. We don't come up with the tip balls. I mean, we don't come up with the tip balls. It's frustrating. Now you got more players injured. Now you got more players. I don't even know what's left of this team.
Well, I think there's 2 starters left on offense. Jason Kelce and Carson Wentz. Zach Ertz out 3 to 4 weeks. Miles Sanders out 1 to 2 weeks. Jack Driscoll, who's actually been doing okay at tackle, right tackle, he's out 1 to 2 weeks. And Malik Jackson 1 to 2 weeks. He's actually been playing since he came back. So now you're going to have Toth as your starting tackle. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Unless Lane comes back. No, did they put Lane on IR?
I didn't see it seems like that he may need another week to come back.
I never know with Lane.
I share your frustration, and the Ravens really gave you a chance. They sleptwalked through it. The penalties were unbelievable.
Man.
They had multiple personal foul roughing the passing.
I mean, the officials tried to give us the game yesterday.
The pass interference call, I like the call, but I don't know if I would have called it if I was the ref. So they gave you every opportunity to be in that game. It came down to a 2-point conversion. And I love when you hear it's like, well, you know, one play didn't cost us the game. Yeah, you're right. There were other opportunities, but when that one play can get you into overtime and you call that play, and really what it came down to, Ike, they weren't prepared for it. Doug wasn't ready for it.
No, it was a bad play call.
You go into a 2-minute warning, so that's a timeout. You know you're at the 1-yard line. You know it's pretty easy. You're going Carson Wentz quarterback sneak. So what else are you thinking about at that moment? You know what you should be doing? You should be talking with whoever. What are we going to do for a 2-point conversion? You need to be prepared for that. Now, you don't wait until after the touchdown scored. You need to know what you're going to do if the sneak doesn't work on 2nd down. Are you going back to another sneak? Are you doing something else? Like, you have to have these scenarios in your head. So now there's a 20-second clock because it's a 2-point conversion, and Doug's strapped for time. He doesn't know what to call. Mm-hmm. So now the guys can't get in. They get to play. They're just trying to get up to the line. And Brian Baldinger, who joins us on Wednesdays, he did a great job of the breakdown, Jack. If you want to tweet that out, he'll talk to us about it on Wednesday. But more or less, the way they played the same defense for each and every 2-point conversion that the Eagles did. So Carson didn't get a chance to get to the line and read the defense. He had to snap the ball. Otherwise, you're getting a delay of game penalty. But it was more or less the way that they were set up and they were blocking, L.J. Fort and the end weren't going to be blocked. So you know going in, like, that's probably not going to work. If you have Boston Scott and Carson Wentz against a linebacker and a defensive end, and they're right in front of you.
Yep.
So, of course, that was never going to work. But what is Doug doing? You can't be caught flat-footed when you have a 2-point conversion to tie a freaking game. What is he doing? That's the best you can do? You have Carson Wentz that played his ass off in the 4th quarter. He's doing everything. He puts his cape on. And you're going to run a zone read to Boston Scott? It doesn't make any sense. Use Carson Wentz's athletic ability to your advantage. Like you were saying before the show, sprint out. Like, let him have the run pass option. Mm-hmm. Put pressure on the defense. You didn't put pressure on the defense. You gave him the game. So it's another opportunity with Doug where he blew it in the biggest spot of the game. His decisions are killing this team right now. Killing this team. Last week against the Steelers, he pushed the button to go for a 57-yard field goal. It would have been the longest kick in Heinz Field. Instead of going for it and keeping the Steelers off the field, he misses the kick. The rest is history. Right, look how many games this year where you're scratching your head, the Washington game, you're scratching your head. What the hell was the game plan? Why would you do that? The first half of yesterday. So you're going to come out and you're going to try to get Zach Ertz involved early? You're a 10-point underdog. You can't come out with that kind of an attitude. At the end of the first half, they finally threw the kitchen sink and they brought in Jalen Hurts. Right? And it worked. Why aren't you doing that at the start of the game? What is he doing? This is ridiculous. It's another bland game plan. The guys that you have out, you already have pretty much the deck stacked against you. It's unbelievable the Eagles were even in the game, right? You have to take away those opportunities, like you said. Missed opportunities, Ike. That's another game that they could have won.
Yep.
Not that they should have won, that they could have won.
Yeah.
Instead, they lost it. They've been in really every game except the Rams game. The Rams game, they got beat up in the second half. They shouldn't have won that game. Mm-hmm. The other 4 games, they should have won more than one of those games.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a team that either beats itself by penalties or drop passes or missed throws or turnovers, like, or you, when you have the coach who's trying to figure out what are the right buttons to push, and he doesn't seem like he's pushing enough of the right buttons in the right moment. There's, with the exception of the Rams game, and I'm sure if I go back to the Rams game, there may be a play call or two in there where you could think about what was Doug thinking as far as his decision making. But in every game, there's been a critical juncture of the game. Either you're being aggressive or you're not aggressive enough in that situation. And coaches are going to have that, right? Sometimes you be aggressive, and sometimes you got to know when to pull off. And you're going to get judged by how correct you are on those decisions. And not many times this year has Doug been right when pushing the aggression button or when he's dialing it back. Right? I there's just not been where like it was in 2017 and 2018 when you were like, man, Doug has pushed the right button at the right time.
He was hot.
Just about every time.
You're right.
Just not happening this year, man.
It's not.
No.
No, it's not. And believe me, because we're going to step aside. We're going to come back. Lots of phone calls today. 215-592-9494. What's bothering you the most after yesterday's loss? It seems like it's every week with Doug right now. It seems like it's every week. This isn't a well-coached team. It doesn't feel like I'm watching smart football. It seems stale. We've been saying the same thing over and over again. And, the one win they had against the 49ers, if you're not playing a backup quarterback who's throwing you the ball, who's literally throwing you an interception that you don't have to do much but just catch it, they're fortunate they have a win right now the way that this team is being coached. And, by the way, the injuries have a big part of this, too. But there's no doubt about that. I don't know how Carson Wentz survived yesterday, Ike. I really don't. 16 quarterback hits, 6 sacks, and the dude was running around in the fourth quarter making chicken salad out of you-know-what. 215-592-9494. Doug also had another two-point conversion early in the game where he says that that's the right move. It's not. We have a lot to talk about. It's Marks and Reese. Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. The best in-game experience on game days is Chickies and Pete's. Indoor and outdoor and seating is available at all locations. Online, chickiesandpete's.com. Back with your phone calls. Where are you at after yesterday's game? Marks and Reese.
I look back on it today, and I believe I still had the timeout at that situation. And I think that maybe the best situation would have been, or the best call could have been, the timeout to really think things through. At least give us more time to make a better decision, at that time.
All right, that was Doug this morning with Angelo. He said he believes he still had a timeout left. He believes it, or he had one left. Like, for even somebody that just watched the game the following day to say he believes he still had a timeout left. What? Mm-hmm. Huh? What? Mm-hmm. Yes, you did have a timeout left. Doug, are you not sure about that? I mean, from your situation, and it's on offense, but how easy is it for the head coach to take a timeout in that situation?
It's easy. I mean, he's standing right there. I mean, that's what coaches do. They watch the clock. They watch the play clock. We've seen plenty of coaches. When they think that the players aren't going to get the ball snapped in time, we'll call a timeout.
Yeah.
From the sideline. I mean, coaches call timeout from the sideline all the time.
Yeah, in that scenario, he has to see that they're rushing up to the line. I mean, there's no bigger – I get it. You'd like to keep that timeout because if you don't get it, that at least gets you the ball back with 30 seconds.
Yeah, but nothing is
but
more –
it doesn't really –
yeah, nothing is more
right.
important than getting the two-point conversion. And in that moment, nothing is more important because if you don't get the two-point conversion, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's the most important play of the game right
matter.
Now.
Yeah.
But he doesn't take a timeout. I've had people ask, well, why didn't Carson Wentz take a timeout there? Mm-hmm. I would say that
because he's thinking about the play.
He's probably trying to get the play off.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. That's what he's doing. I mean, he's trying to get the play off.
Mm-hmm. 215-592-9494. I mean, the play that he called one thing.
Yeah, the problem isn't that he didn't call a timeout. The problem is that they called a bad play.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. You have Boston Scott in there. In what world, against the Baltimore Ravens on a 2-yard line, are you going to call a play that either you're giving the ball to Boston Scott or the quarterback is running it in against the Baltimore Ravens? Where is that going to work at? In what world? That this is arguably a top five run defense in the game. You've struggled to run the ball with the exception of one running play.
Yep.
So I can understand if you had Jalen Hurts in there, right? Or and there's some sort of quarterback run pass option on the play. But Carson isn't an elusive runner.
No.
What is he going to do? Shake Judon out of his boots or Fort, LJ Fort? No, neither one of those guys. Boston Scott isn't making either one of those guys miss,
no.
And neither is Carson Wentz.
And the only thing Carson can do is break a tackle. And at that point, that's not what you're looking for. Right? Lamar Jackson isn't the one that's going to be able to make one of these guys miss, and he's not your quarterback. It's Carson
right.
Wentz.
Exactly.
And why not bring Jalen Hurts in at that point? Just to give the defense something
what you wanna,
different to look
if
at.
If that's what you want to run, now maybe they thought, well, we're catching by surprise, and they don't think we're going to run this. Because I guess if you bring Jalen Hurts in, then everybody knows that's ultimately what's coming.
But why
how about this? How about running the jump pass, the Tim Tebow play, where you fake the read and you're going in, and then Jalen Hurts
and
throws
you throw it.
Yeah.
Or just bringing Jalen Hurts as a decoy. You know what
something?
I mean? Like, there's so many other things they could have done than what they did.
I agree.
It's unbelievable. And Ike, he said, I believe we had a timeout there. Did he really believe on the field they had a timeout?
Yeah.
Did he know?
Yes, he knew.
Okay. Well, he says, well, I believe we had a timeout there. And let's just go through that scenario, and then we'll get right to the phones. So there's 3:02 left. You're first and 10 at Baltimore 22. Carson goes incomplete. I think Greg Ward dropped it. I think it was a Greg Ward drop. So now you're second and 10. Carson goes to our buddy Richard Rodgers, gets 16 yards down to the 6. First and goal, 2:13 left. Boston Scott goes up the middle 5 yards, gets you down the 1 yard line, 2 minute warning. So at that moment, that's a timeout. So what are you doing over on the sideline if you're not saying, like, okay, all right, Carson Wentz is going to go quarterback keeper. Hopefully we get a touchdown. If that doesn't work, this is what I'm going to do on third down. Right? If that doesn't work, this is what I'm going to do on fourth down. If that does work, what am I going to do in the 2-point conversion? Because he clearly wasn't doing that. Because he didn't know what he was calling after they scored. He's scrambling to try to pick a call. How does that happen? Let's go to the phones. We have Mike in King of Prussia. Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Oh, it's Mad Mike. Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
So anyway, I decided to call in positive today. Or at least one of the things is going to be positive. I was really impressed with how hard Carson kept playing. Like, he didn't give up. I'll give him that. I was very impressed with that.
He was amazing. He really was.
Yeah. He plays that hard every week.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. But this time, like, he looked like he was determined not to, like, have a bad game at the end of the game. And he did everything he could to will them to a victory. So I was impressed with that. Next, I just want to call out Andy from Deptford for being a sad sack for not being able to be in the league and calling and being, like, crying about whatever I say. What a loser. Of course he's from Deptford. Only losers live in Deptford. But anyway, another week of victories for me in Oh, I'm killing it. I'm crushing it. Like, don't even show up. Like, I'm just going to crush this league.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Two of your 3 points nobody cares about, especially after an Eagle loss. But you couldn't help yourself. Let's go to Mike in Berwyn. Mike, what's your takeaways? What do you got?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Mike?
Not much. Listen, I think that loss comes on Coach Peterson. From the first touchdown, basically, that we went for 2 points, up to, I didn't understand, going for fourth and five on their, 30, 35-yard line?
On their own 30, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have brought that up. At that point, I just thought the game was over. I didn't even care. I'm like, yeah, just go for it, whatever. You're down 13 points, you're not going to score. Mike?
I don't know. I really believe that loss was on him. I thought, you know, I've been saying it all along. You know, I think Wentz played, he showed a hell of a lot of heart. You know, and to go with the guys that he had around him and he stood in there, you know, I think that said a lot of who he is.
Yeah. Listen,
thanks, Mike.
He's a fighter, right? I mean, that's what he is. We know that's what he is. We saw that last year towards the end of the year. He had every reason to give up on the season last year at the end of the year. But he fought through a lot of those games. And, kept his team believing and got him in the playoffs. I don't know how much of that yesterday was just Baltimore relaxing late in that game, right? And they almost gave that game away. You start the game, the first six, seven possessions, you're three and out with a fumble. Like, they couldn't move. They couldn't get a first down.
Until late in the first half.
Yes, until Jalen Hurts ran for the first down.
Yep.
To Jalen Hurts ran for that first down. They couldn't get a first down. So, listen, this is a game most people didn't think the Eagles were going to win. And I thought for some odd reason they would find a way and win this game. I didn't think Baltimore was coming in playing great offensively. I thought the Eagles could catch him at the right time, and they would shock everybody with a win yesterday. But it was clear that defense was on point early in the game. Travis Fulgham didn't even catch a ball to the second half, right? And we come out with the idea we're going to get the ball to Zach Ertz to get him going.
Mm-hmm.
When, in my opinion, you got to have a better game plan to attack that secondary, in particular Marcus Peters. Like, there were some plays to be had there, and John Hightower has to catch the ball. He has to catch the ball. See, this is my argument for wanting DeSean Jackson back. Like, this kid, get open, whatever, whatever. Like, dude, that's only part of the play. Catching the ball is the most important part of the play. Like, catch the damn ball.
He's got
seriously,
one of the two down.
Seriously, man. Catch the damn ball. I mean, you couldn't have been more open and had a better ball thrown to you on the third play of the game, and you're probably up 7-0 right there. And it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game. So, I don't have the more victory feeling today. I'm more frustrated because, listen, the quarterback takes a beating in this town. He does. But if you get somebody that can make plays for him, it wouldn't look as bad.
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't have to be perfect. He's the only quarterback in this league that has to be perfect on every snap.
Miles Sanders dropped a touchdown?
Miles Sanders, come on, man.
Like, not I mean, listen, throw it on the
– No, listen, let me address that before you even go to it. For all these phony football coaches out there. First of all, Miles Sanders don't determine where the ball is placed. The quarterback does. Miles Sanders is running a route. So if Carson thinks there's more space in the end zone than it is trying to put the ball near the sideline to where Miles may have to try to keep his feet in bounds and everything else, no, the proper throw was where it was placed at because it was the safer throw. It gave Miles Sanders more room to make the catch. If the ball goes over the other shoulder, Miles Sanders may have to drag both feet to stay in bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson may overthrow him. He has more end zone here. Throw the ball there, Miles Sanders. You had enough time to turn your head around and catch the ball. Catch the ball. Catch the ball. That's a guy who I think has Pro Bowl talent. Catch the ball. Catch the ball.
Yep.
I see players make catches all day on Sunday. I see it around the league everywhere making catches. It's not routine catches. This isn't spring ball. Right? Like, you're not in spring ball in 7-on-7 drills. Like, no, make a catch in an NFL game. You're a pro. You're a pro. Make a catch.
Yeah, and a team that needs you to make that catch out there. I mean, like just go back. I mean, Nelly in 2017 made big catches. Alshon made huge catches on the sideline in 2017. I mean, Jeremy Maclin, I can think of many catches where it was like getting the feet in. Yo, Miles, you want to be MVP candidate, bro? Then make that catch. And by the way, he's out for a couple weeks here, Miles.
Fourth down.
Yep.
4th and 9. Carson throws the ball up. Travis Fulgham, go make a play.
And he did.
Two defenders there. Go make a play. Your quarterback gave you a chance to make a play. Go make a play.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what you have on offense is you have
this
two guys
who can
play.
This is the NFL, man. This is the NFL. Like this isn't little league where you think you're just a better athlete and anytime you throw me the ball, I should catch it. Like, dude, you got to make tough catches in this league at times.
Yeah, listen.
You got to make tough catches. Just like Carson has to make tough throws at times. You got to make tough catches.
Yeah, they're paid too. Giulio has a Carson Wentz take out there on Twitter. He says, opponents have scored 34 points directly after Carson Wentz turnovers. The Eagles' current point differential is minus 34. Toughness is commendable, but this season hinges on his ability to protect the ball.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why that's so out of whack. Because, first of all, every turnover isn't the same. Every turnover doesn't happen at the 20-yard line for you to have an easy walk-in touchdown. And defensive players get paid to come out there and put the fire out. You don't have to give up a touchdown just because your offense turned the ball over.
But if that is your – I mean, and Joe Giulio's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, and we're going to have Elliott on at 4. If that's what you think and that's your take after watching yesterday's game, like, I'm not really sure what to say.
Well, you got to find something negative to say about the quarterback.
No, but like,
he got the ball stripped from him. We knew Baltimore is a team who strips the ball from you. He wasn't careless with the ball, wasn't any of that. Matter of fact, it was the first positive yards the offense had gotten in the first half on about 3 or 4 possessions, and he got the ball stripped from him. It happens.
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't careless in the pocket with the ball, wasn't waving it around. Give the defender some credit. He made a good play. Oh, by the way, how many times did that ball get punched loose yesterday?
Like 5?
Yeah.
6?
That's what Baltimore does.
Yep.
So, Joe, stop it. Knock it off. That's what Baltimore does. Miles Sanders fumbled also. And if it wasn't for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we wouldn't have had that touchdown right there.
Mm. Let's go to Brad Middleton. Brad, go ahead. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
All right, Brad.
What's up, Brad?
Not much. Another sad Monday. All I'm happy about is Carson Wentz looked good yesterday. Finally time to shut the haters up, hopefully. But Doug Peterson, man, he's been killing the Eagles this year. His decision yesterday, I don't like the 4th and 5 and the 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I know some people don't mind it, but I didn't like it. Especially trying to mount a comeback. But the 2-point conversion was just horrible. I don't understand trying to run the ball there. I mean, you got to give your best offensive player a chance to actually do something with the ball.
Yeah.
And given the option to pass or run, especially with Carson Wentz and how he was playing yesterday, is the way to go. And Ike, I gotta tell you, I think it's time to let the young kids play. I mean, you got when Riker comes back, he's going to replace DeSean Jackson. I think that's time to let D-Jack go. He can't stay healthy, and Alshon has no need to come back. We don't need that bad seed with Carson Wentz. Not with how good he's playing right now.
Who would you rather have out there, Hightower or DeSean Jackson?
I'd rather give Hightower a chance because you're only get one game out of DeSean Jackson. He's back on the injury list.
Okay, so, I got you.
That's how I look at it.
Okay,
thanks, Brad.
I hear you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All I know is if DeSean Jackson is in the last 2 weeks, these balls are caught that John Hightower did not catch. And maybe you got 2 more wins on your ledger right now.
You're not wrong about that.
So, I understand, let the young guys play. You do understand. Let me just point this out to you real quick about all these young guys that are playing. Let's see. Greg Ward, 2 catches, 19 yards. Let's see. Who else? John Hightower. Oh, he did come back and caught the other one, the 50-yard bomb.
1 for 50.
1 catch. Yep. So that don't even matter to me, quite frankly, when he dropped a wide-open touchdown early in the game, which would have been about, an 80-yarder, 70-yard touchdown early in the game?
Yep.
Let's see. Who else we got young here on his – Arcega-Whiteside, 0 catches.
Great fumble recovery.
Let's see. Boston Scott, another young guy, 2 catches, 5 yards. Oh, great. Young guy's killing it. Travis Fulgham. Yeah, I'm with you on him. But he's not the speed guy.
Right.
So he can actually play. And I don't mind having Rager out there. But what I am saying is, unless you're really prepared to go through the rest of the season with losses, frustrating losses, and oh so close and this and that and the other, then keep the young guys out there. You're not winning. We'll get excited to beat the Giants. We'll get excited to beat Washington. We'll get excited to beat Dallas, but we won't. We'll get excited to beat them, but we won't. And don't even think about beating Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle, Arizona, all those other teams. But we'll watch the young guys play. I watch my quarterback get his brains beat in every Sunday with no return, with no return on his effort out there because guys can't catch the ball.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry. Give me guys out there that can catch the ball.
Yeah, I think Deshaun's one thing, but Alshon is kind of what – I mean, line him up a tight end at this point.
I ain't even thinking about Alshon.
You're like, not going to have Zach Ertz.
I didn't want Alshon sprain. 3 years ago.
No. Zach Ertz, high ankle sprain, 3 to 4 weeks. Miles Sanders, a game or two with a knee injury. Jack Driscoll, who – I mean, who's your right tackle now? Like, is it Toth? He's out for a week or two, mm-hmm. and then Malik Jackson on defense a week or two with a quad injury.
Let's get some more Jason Kroom and Richard Rodgers going. Get some more of that going.
I've never seen a player as open as Kroom on the touchdown. It was like the Ravens didn't know he was out there either.
Yeah, we all got introduced to him yesterday, everybody. As soon as he caught it. Like, who is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who was the last notable 81?
It was Kamar Aiken.
Kamar Aiken, wow.
Yeah.
Notable? I thought he said notable, Jack.
Oh, he's a random Eagle.
And I'm in that group.
He is a random Eagle.
No, wasn't it Joshua Perkins? Wasn't he 81?
I don't remember. Probably, right?
What's
probably. Avon is the last notable.
Well, yeah, he's definitely the last.
He's the last notable.
Yes.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494.
I want to keep calling him Sylvester Kroom. That's an old coach.
Well, he's not earned his name.
He hasn't earned it yet.
Not on this show.
Yeah, he's not earned it yet.
Sylvester Kroom.
Yeah, we can call him whatever we want to until he makes some more plays.
Kroom
coming up.
Kroom. Kroom.
Kroom. Not Kroon with an N. Kroon with an M. Kroom with a C. A C-R.
It was Groom yesterday for a minute.
I knew they activated him off the practice squad. I didn't know that he was a tight end. Coming up. So the other decision that drove me absolutely crazy was to go for it down 2-17-6. Now, to be fair,
that's a great idea.
Last week he did the same thing. We both said that we didn't like it, even though they converted. We said I never liked chasing points at that point of the game. I hated it. Mm-hmm. You'll hear his explanation on the decision coming up next, and we'll talk about it. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Home gating is here. Order Chickies and Pete's to go for your game watch party. Chickies and Pete's, the official caterer and proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, you need a new Acura? Then you have to visit my guys over at Elite Acura. And I've been waiting for the perfect opportunity. Now, there's never been a better time than right now during their fall takeover event. The savings are piling up on new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned Acuras like the new 2021 Acura RDX front-wheel drive, leased for $349 a month for 36 months. Plus, all of their certified pre-owned vehicles have passed a comprehensive 182-point inspection by their outstanding factory-trained technicians. Now, there's never been a better time to save. Hurry in during their fall takeover event and experience the difference an exceptionally priced Acura can make. Only at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage. Visit them today over on Route 73 North in Maple Shade.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.